I don't know as much about that because I'm not a Hollywood insider, but our good buddy Al Harris is, and again, he's brought to you by Salty Seas Travel. Al, how are you, my friend? Always a pleasure to speak to you on a Monday.
I'm fantastic, Bull. How are you doing? Hello?
Yep, he's there. Hold on, Bull. I got to press the right button. He is with us. He said he's doing fantastic, Bull, and asked how you're doing.
If he can hear me, well, I'm doing very well, my friend, and I can hear him giggling in the background.
Sure, that's you can communicate with each other.
Honestly,
now.
I'm okay with doing that the whole bit if I just Matt relays everything I say to you. I think that's good radio right there.
Sure, I bet that would make for great radio. I can see nothing but our ratings going up for that.
Yeah, skyrocketing, I'm sure. Well, Al, let's begin with this. So the announcement came out a little bit earlier that Fantastic Beasts is going to have a sequel. Now, I would like to ask you about this because I thought the movie was certainly all right. Didn't blow me away. I thought it was okay. I was a little surprised to see this thing come out. But are you excited about this sequel? You hearing anything positive about it?
I thought it seemed like it was going to be I'm surprised at this announcement. I thought it was already inevitable it was going to be a second one. I'm not surprised at all. Like, they're going to keep taking these out. It did well in the box office. Like, it wasn't as good of a movie as, you know, the original ones. But that's obviously kind of what you expect since it's not coming from a J.K. Rowling book. So it had, like, you know, not the wonderment that the original series had. But it did well. It's got a fun cast. It's interesting. It's going to keep making money. So they're going to keep making movies. I'm not exactly sure how many they're planning on making, but I'm sure it's not just going to be two of them.
Al, let's transition to the movies that are making their debut or already made their debut at the box office over the course of this past weekend. We'll get into Despicable Me 3 here in just a couple minutes, but I want to start with a movie that you told us to keep an eye out for last time we had you on in Baby Driver. Now, at the box office, it did a heck of a lot better than The House. What are people saying about Baby Driver? Were they impressed with the way it debuted?
Well, first off, we'll talk about The House real quick. I guess that just did awful. The reviews are middling, and I kind of saw this coming. It's a little kind of a bummer because we were talking earlier, I like both Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler and was hoping that it would do well, or at least the reviews. It was one of those movies that I was waiting to see what the original reviews would be before I like bought my ticket to go see it. And yeah, I think it had like 15% on Rotten Tomatoes. What I've heard is just it's, you know, nothing special and it's not even that funny. So it's kind of a bummer. I know as big of a Will Ferrell fan as you are, you must be a little bummed about that. But then, like, back to Baby Driver, my biggest shock about that is that it lost to Despicable Me 3 this weekend. I really thought Baby Driver was going to the weekend, and it did not. It's kind of a sore subject with me right now because I have attempted twice to see this movie and each time been thwarted. I actually got halfway through it before the power at the theater I was at went off. So I can say the first half of the movie was fantastic. I can't tell you about the second half, though.
That's crazy. I don't think I've ever heard a story like that. Two times you try and go see it, and you're thwarted by the power going out.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, and for everything I've heard, I think it has like a 97% Rotten Tomatoes. Everyone I've talked to has said how fun it is, how great it is. And like I said, the first half of the movie was fantastic, especially the opening chase scene. It's done so well. Everyone seems like they're having a good time. John Hamm is really mucking it up for the camera. And just the way it's shot, the way they incorporate music, I totally recommend seeing it. And I can't see anything happening in the second half that would change my mind that much for the worse. So I definitely recommend seeing it. And like I said, it was just, I was having a blast, and I'm very bummed I haven't seen the second part yet.
I'm glad you've at least seen the first half of this movie, because I wanted to ask you, the car chase scenes obviously have to be huge in this because it's a movie about a getaway driver.
Yes.
I always liked that aspect of the movie. The movie with Jason Statham, Driver, I thought was very good. But to me, there's nothing as pure as the driving getaway scenes in The Bourne Identity, where he's driving, I think it's a Mini Cooper in one of them, or a Volkswagen Bug or something like that. And it's not a unique car. It's not a spiffy car. It's just a car. He's driving it like crazy. Is it more like that, or are we seeing like a Fast and the Furious type of getaway driving scenes?
Well, it's kind of, Italian Job was, I remember they were a big thing with the Mini Cooper came out. They were pushing the car. It's just good action sequence driving. It's not like, the cars are really secondary to just like the scenes, the way he drives. I think it's actually a Subaru he drives.
Oh, cool.
It's pretty much just kind of like these fun chase scenes. It felt much more like the movie Drive, but a fun version of Drive.
Okay.
Because both of the lead characters don't say much. They have there's a little backstory to them that we're not really sure at first. They fall in love with a girl. It has that Drive feeling, except it's a lot more fun. It's a little campy. It really heightens that up. But both those movies also had a lot to do with music. So I think they're definitely comparable. And I know a lot of people didn't like Drive. I thought Drive was amazing. And I think it's definitely on the same wavelength.
I'm excited to see how well this does next week as well, because I think this was one of those movies that really wasn't publicized a ton, even though it did have a great deal of star power. I mean, there are some pretty big names in this thing, and I'm anxious to see how well it does next weekend as well. But
we talked about that last week because of it's going to be one of those word-of-mouth movies. Like, yes. I think the first weekend, what it was the guys who are big Edgar Wright fans who knew about this movie, the big kind of movie buffs went this weekend. And, yeah, I think you're right. I think it's not going to do – I thought it would do better numbers than it did, but it did pretty well. But it's not one of those movies that's going to do fantastic the first week. It's going to keep building. And I think when it's all said and done, they could break $100 million. I wouldn't be shocked, even though they only made $20 million the first weekend.
I mean, do you think the studio is shocked by this, though? Because it didn't seem like it had that major push behind it. This was one of those movies that, like you just said – word of mouth is going to be what drives this one out there, because, yeah, the previews were out there, but you just couldn't really see much from it about the storyline. You just knew it was about this young guy who drives. He wants to get out, and Kevin Spacey says, no, you got to do this.
Yeah. I think, like I said, I feel like a broken record, but I really think this was one of those movies that where the director becomes the draw, not necessarily the cast. It's more about the director, the action sequences and the music, and I think that's what they're pushing. And if you look at the trailers, that's kind of what they're advertising, because none of the actors, except for maybe Kevin Spacey, and that's years ago, are box office draws at this point, you know. Mm-hmm. John Hamm, like we said, is mostly small screen. Jamie Foxx was, but Jamie Foxx also, from what I gather, doesn't have like a huge part in it, and he hasn't been a huge box office draw lately. John Bernthal, who also has a big part, is more of a small screen guy. And then this is like, I think, Ansel Elgort's second movie starring in. So it's not really about the actors that are trying to sell this movie. It's about everything in between.
Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, our guest here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, brought to you by Salty Seas Travel Agency. All right, well, let's take a look at the box office rock star this past weekend in Despicable Me 3. Now that that's out, Cars 3's been out for at least a couple of weeks. They're both out there for everybody to watch now. What are people saying about this summer's threequels? I mean, is there one that really has an advantage over the other?
Well, it seems like, as far as reviews go, and what I've heard is Despicable Me 3's a little better, and I think that's mainly because the first two were better than the first two Cars. I think Cars is one of the least liked movies in the Pixar grouping, which is shocking to me how they've done three of these. None of them have been, like, the first one was okay. The second one, I never watched, and I heard very bad things about it. And then it just didn't seem like people needed a third one. While Despicable Me have always been entertaining. You know, they're fun movies. You know what you're getting. They don't really stray from, like, the kind of formula they do. But what they do is fun, and it's good. Good material for both the adults and the kids, you know. And so I totally get that, and I see why Despicable Me did well this weekend and why it's done better than Cars 3. I'm actually shocked how well it did this first weekend, making, like, I think it was, like, $75 million.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, it was in the 70s, yeah.
Yeah, not bad for them, and I think that's a movie that, like we said, is good for both adults and kids, and especially in the summer when kids are out of school, it's a perfect time to go take them to the movie and just waste the day.
That was the one thing that really kind of surprised me when I went and saw it this weekend. When I was at the theater, Al, I was shocked at how many adults were actually there watching the movie as well, because you kind of think about it, that's the movie that is geared toward kids, but it's pretty funny. I thought it was very, very good, and while Steve Carell is always great in these movies and the Minions always give you an extra draw, I really thought that Trey Parker was hilarious as the villain in this movie. I thought he really kind of stole the show.
Well, that's something I really don't understand, is him and, Matt Stone do such great work doing voiceovers on South Park that you would think they would have gotten something like this beforehand. Like, they're such good voiceover talents that I'm shocked they haven't done, like, a villain or done something besides, like, their own stuff beforehand. So I'm glad to hear that you enjoyed them and that they were a good part of it, that he was a good part of it. And hopefully that leads to more roles for both of them.
Yeah, without question, because both guys, as you mentioned, supremely talented, very, very funny guys as well. And I thought they developed that character pretty well. I thought that was extraordinarily well done. I want to ask you about Batgirl, because you keep hearing these rumors now as to who it might be, who are they going to cast as Batgirl, when's this all coming out. Who are some of the names that you've heard, and who do you think is the most realistic candidate to be the Batgirl?
Well, you got perfect timing, because I don't know if you heard this, but and I hate to talk about this kind of stuff because I'm not a fan of it, but there was a sort of like a hack where they got a leaked list of the people that the studio was interested in auditioning for Batgirl. I don't know how realistic it is or how legit it is, but there was names like Elle Fanning, Margaret Qualley from Leftovers, the girl from Split, I forget her name, and there was a few others. And the one name that I thought that was the most interesting, and the one that I think would be perfect for it, is, her name escapes me right now, but she starred in the new Netflix show 13 Reasons Why, and she was for as emotional of that role was, she knocked it out of the park, and you could see definitely some comedic talent in there as well, even though the product really didn't call for it. And like I said, her name escapes me. She was the lead in 13 Reasons Why, and I think she'd be she was on the short list that got released, and I think she'd be a perfect Batgirl.
All right, very nice. We'll certainly keep an eye out for that, too, as these names continue to get leaked. All right, I've got to ask you for your picks to click. And I also want to go back to something very quickly here. The very first pick to click that you gave us on the first week of the show was Glow. And, man, is that show awesome. I'm not too deep into that first season yet, but the first couple of episodes that I watched were absolutely outstanding. I've not heard a bad review for Glow on Netflix. Everybody I talk to absolutely loves it, so you knocked it out of the park, because you told us about that about 4 months ago, so kudos to you, my friend. But what do you have for your picks to click for this week?
Well, my pick to click is another kind of in the same ballpark as that, but completely different, and that's, I think it's released this Saturday on HBO, is Andy Samberg's Tour de Pharmacy, which I don't know if you had seen his, the 7 Minutes in Hell, starring
him
and Kit Harington.
Yes, yeah.
Which was so damn funny and so absurd. And they're doing it again, this time with cycling and basically steroids. And John Cena, as one of the bikers, looks hysterical. Him on those small bikes makes me laugh every time I saw it. Samberg's in it, John Cena, Orlando Bloom, Danny Glover. I'm missing a lot of names, but it looks absolutely hysterical. And when Andy Samberg does these little, like, these mockumentaries, like I said, 7 Days in Hell was absolutely hysterical. And he seems like he's doing the same thing with this. Just the levels of absurdity and, like, the jokes per minute, it's just so good. And I'm really looking forward to that. And hopefully, if this one does well, we get maybe one of these every, like, year or two from Andy Samberg, just kind of, like, making fun of the sports documentary format.
Great, great stuff. You know what? I've actually got HBO for free for another couple of months here, too. So I saw a preview for that other day. So
Jeff Goldblum's in that, too. I saw that guy's everywhere now.
Not only that, but have you seen what he's wearing on the...
Yes.
It's, like, bright pink biker wear. Something only... Honestly, not many people could wear that and still look as elegant as Jeff Goldblum does. And I'm like, I'm all in on this. Andy Samberg's, when it comes to this stuff, he's a genius, and I recommend everyone to watch it. And for those who hadn't seen 7 Days in Hell, definitely check it out. Michael Sheen is the best part of that. He's so funny and so creepy, and it's just so good.
Awesome stuff. Al, always appreciate it, my friend. Enjoy the 4th of July tomorrow, and we will do it again next week.
All right, thank you, guys. I'll talk to you next week.
All righty. That is Al Harris, our Hollywood Insider, brought to you by Salty Seas Travel Agency. Looking for somewhere to go this summer? Well, you should call Salty Seas Travel Agency because they can help you get to and from your destination, and they can make it a stress-free experience. Call Stephanie at Salty Seas Travel Agency. Visit the website, saltyseastravelagency.com.